that, but we're gonna, can't do that no more. We're gonna talk about prayer, and what I want to talk about is the prayer, basic simplicity of the prayer of faith in a man's life who is a father, a husband, a family man, a grandfather, whoever it is in your family. And I, me being, why I say father, because that's who I am. I am a man married to a woman, and I believe that that just the simplicity of the Word of God, just doing it and doing it. And I'm going to go over several scriptures, but then I'm going to give some life applications about how in your early walk, just getting back to this, the spirit-filled life of a believer, that you can move mountains in your life, that my life is a mountain that was moved. I mean, some of y'all knew me before, and I think Wiley over there, he would attest to that. Look at him, he hides his face, but he would attest to that. But God is truly in the people change of business. There's three things that God told me, and what he told me through his word, that when I read it, since I started reading the Bible, that applies, those principles apply to our everyday life. And that is, number one, that God is in the people change of business. He alone is the one to change your life. You know, the psychologists and everything, they rewrite them books 3 years later and they change everything. The Word of God does not change. It does not change. And the second thing is that we cannot allow our feelings to dictate our actions nor our responses to the circumstances that surround us in the world that we live in. Man, you'll go crazy. You know, if you just even watch just a little bit of the what's going on around the world, if you've got any gumption in your life, in your blood at all, you're going to get fired up and mad. But we can't allow those things to dictate our feelings and actions. And the third thing that I see through all through God's Word when I read it, and I got it in there, I'll write in my Bible where it's at, and that is that God's not a people pleaser unless we line up with His Word. It's God's way or the highway, plain and simple. And I think about a scripture. They don't have this up there, but I'm going to read it real quick. In Matthew 7, 13 to 14, Jesus read writing. This is from the New King James. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." It's a popularity contest. A lot of people doing it. Everybody going over here to see this, to see that, to do it. Be careful. Stop. Think. Watch out. Verse 14, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So God is not a people pleaser unless we line up with His Word. The basic power of praying for a family as a parent and a grandparent, I'm going to talk about that. The Word of God will change our lives, and this is only when we take off the mask and shields that the world has put on us. I mean, I'm a man, been one for 67 and a half years. I mean, literally, really. And but I can think of the first 38 years of my life when I found Jesus Christ in a church in Gloucester on Easter Sunday morning in January 6, 1996, that, man, the next year and a half of my life was the hardest years of my life to live, because for 38 years, all my friends, associations, and everything, I found out we were all on that same road, that broad way that was leading straight to hell. And we were. But you have to change that. And there's only one thing that can change that is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. And it is. So I'm going to make a couple of statements, and then we're going to get into some life applications on what's happened. Just the simplicity of learning how to pray with your family and watching mountains move in their life. For a little kid, a mountain can be as small as a pet. What we may think is, my goodness, but, you know, can be a pet. For somebody who's not a Christian, a mountain could be an 8-point buck, a pickup truck or a tractor or, you know, anything. Anything. That's the immaturity. But when you're young in the Lord, you're young. So I'm going to make a couple of statements and get into some life applications about prayer changed a hard-headed redneck into a man of God who loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength right now. It consumes me and my wife. Consumes your pastors, which, by the way, I should make, you know, they're away. They'll be back soon and taking care of some business. But they are literally consumed with the Word of God constantly. What you see here is what they are on the outside. And we've spent some time with them and others. So my entire life in Christ is due to answered prayer. It is. Mountain moving prayer. So I'm going to ask them to put up Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And we're going to read this together. But this is a very familiar portion of Scripture here. It's very familiar. But this is Jesus talking to his guys. And he answered and said to them, have faith in God. Wow. Just think about that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet unseen. Hebrews 11:1, and we said 11:6 went during the offering, but without faith it's impossible to please God. We must believe he is who he said he is, not who the world says he is, not who Walter Cronkite said he is, not who the Communist News Network said he is, but who God said he is, and there's only one place that we find that, and that is right here in this word. So, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, 23, so assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And 24, yeah. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. To move the mountain, issue, problem, circumstance, situation in your life, by praying and asking God, talking to the creator of this world as your personal Lord and Savior, is an illustration of doing something that in our natural minds equals an impossible situation. How many of y'all have ever faced an impossible situation? I have. I raise all 10 toes and fingers in that one many times in my life. And especially after I came to know God, because I knew who to pray to and who to ask. Our what we do here right now is an answer to an impossible situation. You know, we had sold the farm, left the job 28 years with my tools in the sheet metal shop in the shipyard, hourly employee. You know, okay, going into ministry, gonna go preach. We did a good thing for God for 3 years, but we had to leave that situation. Nothing wrong with them. It was what's over your head. They had a ceiling, particularly with the mountain moving. But so we went and lived in a garage, a two-car garage. Yeah, a friend of mine called me up and said, hey, you need somewhere to live. You ain't got nowhere to live. I said, nah. He says, man, you can stay in the garage. Just pay the electric bill. And I'm going to tell y'all something, not that I'm cheap or anything, but it was $68 a month. Man, I'd still be there if it wasn't for paying. But no, so anyway, praise the Lord. By yourself. Oh, Rose, you're right, by myself. But you could heat that place with a candle and cool it with an ice cube and a fan. Man, it was nice, man. I said, this is great, man. Hey, didn't have to chase her too far or nothing, man, you know. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so you have to know that. Impossible situations in our life can be moved. I'm going to ask them to put up, and you, well, so another great one, and all these verses you've heard, but repetition is truly the motor of learning. And all these verses are on, in the morning, I go over these and many more. But Ephesians 3:20, and all these are from the New King James. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think according to the power that works in us. What power is that? Just think, just what power is that? It's the Holy Spirit. So Romans 8:11, I'm asking, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, that's your natural flesh, through his Spirit who dwells in you. Think about that. Skip on over to verse 32. We could go through this, but we're not. He who did not spare his own son, this is the beginning of this, 31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, he goes on to say, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for his all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do we understand what all things is when we ask in God's will and we walk worthy of him? Colossians 1:10, walk worthy of him, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in his knowledge, strengthened with his might according to his glorious power. There's nothing wrong with all things. I mean, I lived in the world for 38 years. Man, I'm telling you, it's, you know, and people call that fun. Well, I had good time with certain things, but not many. I'm not going to dwell on that. But I'm Luke 1:37, and I'm going to go through these. Listen to this. I know you've heard this recently from the pulpit. For with God, nothing is impossible. He said the same thing in Mark 9:23, when the Holy Spirit, the angel came down and visited Mary, and he said, nothing is impossible with God. We're talking about the virgin birth. We're talking about a young teenage girl. I'm the father of, was at one time, three young teenage girls. Now they're three young married with kids. But think about that. That young lady, 13, 14, some accounts say, depends on what school you went to, they all got a number, but she was young. She was a teenager. With God, all things are possible. And she chose to obey God. Think about that. We heard about that Sunday with the tithe message. And in Philippians 4:13, probably one of the most famous Bible verses in here, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My grandson's ball player, baseball. He plays good baseball. They got gloves now that you can get things put on them. You know, and on his glove, he's got Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I ask him that every morning. I call him up and my granddaughter, and I talk to each one of them separately, you know. But I say, who are you? Are you a leader and a follower? And they go, I'm a leader. I said, can you do all things? And they finish it for me. And I said, whose mind do you have? They said, I have the mind of Christ. You know, I talk to them about that. I talk to them about that. That's answered prayer for me. We're going to get into that. Colossians 4:2, this is one of my favorite. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You never quit praying. You're always steadfast in it, all the time. People say, I think the great one of the greater things about this church is the power of the prayer groups that they have. They pray all the time. I mean, we're praying all the time here, and then they have people come in. Folks, many of you did that a little bit tonight. You did it today. The Healing Center team prays. The pre-service prayer on Sunday, then Thursday, my goodness, that thing's growing. I walked by the room the other day taking care of some business, and I said, man, there was 20 people in there. That's awesome. That's awesome. Prayer moves mountains. Corporate prayer moves mountains. And we're going to get into some more of that. But at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is one of my, I'm just going to turn there because I want to talk about that briefly. And the reason I'm saying that these things to y'all is the importance of prayer. This is a book of prayer. They say Psalms is a book of prayer and everything, but this is a book of prayer. The Pauline prayers. Many of y'all have grew up in this church and know what the Pauline prayers are. My favorite is Colossians 1:9 through 23, and there's Ephesians 1. You know, there's two prayers in Ephesians 1 and then chapter 3. They're all good stuff. All good stuff. But Thessalonians 1:17, yes, he says, pray without ceasing. And this is having an attitude of prayer without interruption. Pray without ceasing. Thank God for that, when you pray without ceasing. You know, you can have a relationship with God without having a you cannot have a relationship with God without having a relationship with his word. There's people that I know that got a lot of questions, and I minister to them. They've been in this church. They were down the road in that church, and we see them, but they don't read the Word of God, but they want to tell you what's in the Bible. And I'm saying, you're going to have to show that to me. You're going to have to show that to me. And they won't. I said, you need to read the Word. You need to study the Word. You need to go to a life group, get in a disciplined Bible study that's going to teach you the Word. Every Bible study that we have in those life groups is like that, you know. And then, I mean, praise God, we just had a marriage relationship class third year, and it gets better every year because we change it. We get the critiques from the class after the end of the thing, and we change things and streamline it and do the best. But had 35 people in there, steadfast, faithful people every week, and their lives were changed by the Word of God. By the Word of God. There's no 12-step program unless it's Romans 12, 6 through 21. You know, I mean, I'm not into the, you know, all that. I'm just going to do the Word. The Word's what changed our life. So, okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:17. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna ask y'all. Y'all doing all right? Okay. Where's the, gotcha, brother. but there's more to that. Pray without ceasing. There's conditions that have to be met, and I'm gonna read the rest of the passage there from 18 to 22 in 1 Thessalonians. Somewhere. Timothy, 2 Thessalonians 5. He says, in everything give thanks. There's conditions. Give thanks in everything, not for everything. I thank God. I used to work for a man in a body shop, and something would happen, and those of y'all who've been in that environment know that metal don't always go where it's supposed to go, and you put heat on it, whatever. But and I would go, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you give me the answer to get that out. And he actually took the hammer and threw it down one time and says, I don't get you. You praise God and say thank you for everything. I said, I can't help it. I mean, I just can't help it. I said, it's going to be okay. You know, I mean, before nail guns, I used to work for a framing crew, and some nails get bent. I mean, they get bent, don't they, John? Don't they, Bill? You bend nails, you know. You know, but praise God. It's going to be all right. So you give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. What's he telling you right here? You want a step program on how to get in touch with God? Okay. He says right here, and then this is when we get into prayer. He says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. And then he says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. 22, abstain from every form of evil. Now, we can get continuing prayer, giving thanks, doing the will of God, serving in the church, doing everything, not despising prophecies, not quenching the Spirit, and we can test all things through His Word and through the obedience of the church, everything done decently and in order in Corinthians, and then he says abstain from every form of evil. That's a tall order. But we can do it because Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be holy for I am holy. Jesus said that. Peter said it in 1 Peter 1:16, said the same thing. He quoted Jesus. I mean, he was there with Jesus when he said that. So I say that for the results of being obedient to God, and then the results are 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. That's a godly promise for being obedient to him and doing life his way. I don't know about y'all, but for 38 years, I didn't do it his way. I kind of like doing it his way. Amen. Does everybody, I mean, you guys good with that? Okay. It says, prayer explained simply to me, was explained simply to me in the early part of my life with God, is talking but listening more to what God has to say to you through His Word. Not always having an answer. You know, when you're getting ready to answer somebody and you're listening to them and you're already coming up with the answer, you ain't heard what they're talking to you about. You've been listening with your ears but not with your heart. And that's what we do with God's Word. We listen with our heart. So, you know, there's one type of prayer that I believe is prayed by most believers, and that's intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, that's praying for somebody, standing in the gap. And I'm going to cover that just briefly, but as a father learning how to pray for his family, this is intercessory prayer. It's standing in the gap. I believe it's the most frequently prayed by both new Christians and mature Christians, people who've been walking in the Lord, serving in the church, pastors, whoever. Ephesians 6:8. Did I put that one on there for you, ladies, gentlemen? Praise the Lord. Ephesians, there you go. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always. Pray passionately. The Passion Translation say, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessing of God upon all believers. Pray that. To intercede is the action of intervening on the behalf of another. The act of interceding in prayer with petitions in favor of another is standing in the gap for another. My testimony simply starts off, it started off like this at Duke in 2005 when I was in there the very first class, the very first morning. They go around, they sit you in an amphitheater, that's where you're at. You don't need a microphone, the acoustics is tremendous. I mean, it's an old school place, man, it's beautiful. Woodwork, everything engraved. You know, it's like Gotham City, but anyway. But you're in there and you're going, wow. Well, the professor at that class, I would say his name, but he was an ordained elder, clergy member in another denomination, but he was teaching Old Testament theologies. In other words, everything in the Old Testament was a campfire story. You know, they sat around the woods and around a campfire and told stories. That's what he, and I'm sitting there going, I'm listening. But the first day of the class, he goes around the room, and 45 people, and he gets to me, and he writes down a little note on each one. That's where you're sitting at the rest of the semester, because he don't have to know your name. He just looks on the chart and goes, Doug Johnson. And they were going around the room and giving just a little testimony. He said, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here. Well, he got to me, and I didn't know nothing. I'm cornbread. Man, hey, man, I just put my lunchbox down from the shipyard not long ago. And I said, well, I can just tell you, 1996, Easter Sunday, I gave my heart to Jesus. Before that, the old man tried to beat the hell out of me. My wife's been trying to pray the hell out of me, and Jesus saved the hell out of me. And you could hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop. And I said, man. And he goes, stop right there. He said, class, we have one of those in here with us, a person who believes in miracles. Yeah, this is at Duke University Divinity School. I can say it now. It's been 20-some years. So I don't want to, you know, hopefully they've all moved on. But anyway, if they're watching this, praise God, they're going to get saved. But, yeah. And he said, a name and a claimant. That's what he called me. So I said right there, I didn't say anything in the next 2 years till the last class I was in when it was preaching class, and that's for another time. But that's the type, I just told him the truth. And I said, Pamela Jo, she had been praying for me for years. And I've told y'all that, and some of y'all, there's a lot of newer people in here. But praying for all things, interceding for everybody. In 1995, I got enough time to do this. Peggy Estelle, my youngest daughter, she just came to the house and got Luke a little while ago. That's my grandson. I started going to church that year, and I thought I was doing pretty good, you know. I was going once a month, you know. Well, I was going as much as any other man in the church was, you know. I was still indulging in a fermented beverage with the boys and doing what I wanted to do, but I had never given my life to Jesus. Well, bow season come on and I was on daytime. So let me put this easy way. I was going to go bow hunting on a Saturday morning and it was raining. Usually when you're on night shift, you stay up all day, hunt, take care of your place and go to work and work all night. When you're young, you can burn the candle at both ends. I can't do that no more. And I don't want to do that. But she came up to me, a little girl, and gave me this green Gideon's Bible and said, here, you can put this in your pocket and your friends won't see it with you. Well, I went, long story short, I was in the stand pouring down rain. I said, this is a waste of time. I could be at home. I got things to do and whatever. And I said, there's God in heaven. I opened that book up, and it just happened to be on Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself also in the will of the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. So I say, well, gee whiz, God. Immaturing. Wasn't saved. I was hanging over hell by a thread, and it was on fire. I've been told that by a man at work. And that's fine. He believed what he did, and I was going to do what I did. At this time in my life, I was the one who was believing in what I wanted, selfishness. It was all selfishness, me, myself, and I. Well, I prayed. I said, okay, God, there's nothing wrong. I'm going to do this real quick, but I don't see what's so hard if you're really the creator of the universe and all these people, you know, and all this stuff, you know. And I said, I don't see what's so hard about an eight-point buck. Long story short, 3 minutes later, 4 minutes later, I'm standing in that tree stand. I go by that field, go to my buddy's place still, and go hunt with him, with my grandson. And I'm standing in that tree stand in the woods behind me. Things happen. A lot of other things happen. Well, what do you think? Come run up and stood right there at the bottom of that tree. 8-point buck. And I said, man, boom. But so I said, that's after I counted 8 points on his head. And I said, And when I hit, I shot the deer with a bow and arrow. Praise the Lord. And it tasted good. So, and I said, there's a God in heaven. Still didn't give my heart to Jesus. I was hard-headed, one-wayed rascal. Some things happened. Easter Sunday, 6 months later, a lady came up to me and said, you don't know how much we've been praying for your wife, for you. Because really, she didn't have a husband. I mean, she knew I wasn't raised in a glass house. And to this day, that family is one of my closest friends. As a matter of fact, 2 years later, when God placed a call on my life and the pastor told me to start doing things, her husband would come up to me with a brown paper bag with, to me, lots of money, cash money, big, big bills, and say, here, buy your books, go to school. So, but at that time, she told me to do that. Well, she sent me to 1 Peter 3:1-4, and y'all can write that down and read that later. But that's when I got saved. When I read that, that was Pam. And I said, my goodness, my wife. That's my wife. And the only thing that I ever knew how to love, never heard anybody tell me that, was her. 1 Peter 3:1-4. So there's three things when you pray to God as a very, there's a lot of newer believers in here. We have, that's what I like about this church, a lot of newer people are coming. But with the 8-point buck, this is six months before I gave Jesus my heart. And about 6 months after that, there's three things that came to me about that prayer. And that is, number one, that God listens and hears the prayers of the unsaved. I've had people in churches, in prominent churches, tell me that, you know, you got to do this to pray, you got to do it like this, you got to do it like that. Well, let me tell you something. This redneck in his dicky work clothes with a camouflage net on his face, standing in that tree stand with a threadbare recurve bow and shot that deer. Hey, he didn't pray. He just said, hey, God, you say you are who you are? I don't believe it. You ought to be able to give me an 8-point buck. Well, that was an 8-point buck. I got the horns at home on a plaque. But God listens to the prayers of the unsaved. I've had people, pastors actually tell me, no, he doesn't. I said, well, then how does somebody get saved? I was unsaved when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Every one of us were. I was born a sinner. And let me tell you something, I was a good sinner. I knew how to sin. I mean, hey, I was good. Sinner. As Pastor JB said, good and gooder. But so I know what they do. Number two was, you don't settle for less than you prayed for. Do not settle for less than you prayed for. Before that deer came up there, there was a flock of turkeys come up there. And I almost shot one. But I didn't. And the third thing is, don't ever put a size limit on what you ask for. Don't put a size limit on it. Prayed before, we got started for raises, advancements, and bonuses in everyone's life. Don't stop. There's no retirement with God. You're going to serve Him the rest of your life. Seriously, you're going to serve Him the rest of your life. Pastor Chris says this, he's been saying this since I've known him. your local church is the school you go to for the rest of your life to learn how to relive your life, and you don't graduate till you go home to be with Jesus. So in saying all that, I'm going to give some scriptures to back that up, and I'm going to tell one more quick life application about praying for your family. But of Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, these are some of my favorite ones, and you guys have heard these, but listen to this. When I read these, you guys read them, and just please write these down. This is God's word. This ain't Doug Johnson. This ain't Chris Morgan, Debbie Morgan, Pam Johnson. This is God speaking to us. My goodness, when I read this, I said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a hope and a future." You can't have a hope and a future spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ broke, busted, and disgusted. You can't do it. Burning a candle at both ends. Put up 12, please. Listen to this. Then what is this? Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. What is that? Prayer. This is Jeremiah. Y'all do a study on Jeremiah and find out these guys, these Old Testament prophets, won't know wimps. Man, these guys, and listen to them. So you go ahead and put 13 up there. This is another good one. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Is all your heart searching for him? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we must believe he is who he said he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that the same thing? You can tie all these together. So now they're going to put up Jeremiah 32:27. This is another one. I mean, Jeremiah, I really like the book of Jeremiah. Well, I like them all. But behold, he says, "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Nothing is impossible with God. Remember the angel told Mary that? Jesus said that in Mark 9:23. With God, nothing is impossible. Man, that's good news. That's something to smile about. Man. Okay, did I give you Jeremiah 33:3? Yes, I did. Praise the Lord. He says, "Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you did not know." Isn't that awesome? "I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know." Call on him. Ask him. He'll move that mountain for you. Pray to him. Talk to him. Man, you know, let me see. How many of y'all got kids in here? Have y'all ever prayed to God about anything? You know, prayer in a man's life, that's me, is a discipline that is learned with habitual practice. Remember, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. We have to do it continually. It's a practice. It's a discipline. It's like listening, learning to listen with your heart. You hear with your ears, listen with your heart so you can speak. It's awesome, man. Listen to God's word when he talks to you. Man, this is some good, you know, actually doing the word of God and not just listening to it, you know. You can listen. How many of y'all, when you're reading the Bible, well, to me, or whenever you read the Bible, to me it's in the morning mostly, for a good hour and a half I'm reading, and I'll be reading a section, a portion of it, and I'll start out like take a good drink of coffee and get in there. Next thing you know, I'm down about the other side of the page. I'm going, what in the world? I didn't even remember what I just read. I'm the only one that's ever happened to that. I know. But anyway, so I go back and I read it out loud. I read it out loud. I do. I know she can hear me sometimes upstairs reading out loud, because I want to hear what God's saying to me. I'm selfish at that time in the morning. You know. So the overflow of this is carried over from your life to your family's life as a parent. I don't have time to go into all the examples of fathers and parents leading the children in the way they should go. We got scripture upon that, precept upon precept, and we're not going to exhaust that. But Psalm 37:4, I shared with that earlier, you guys. And this is good because, I one of the regrets I have is, even though we raised our daughters, my wife was in church with them, and I did not go to church with them until 1996. Well, they were getting ready to get out of high school, going to college and all that by then. But I had a chance to we spent a lot of quality time together. Quality time. My oldest and my youngest will tell you, man, we, you know, really spent a lot of time. They hunted. We went coon hunting, deer hunting, all that, trapping, fishing. They worked on the farm. They helped pigs, slaughter everything, man. We ate everything. And my middle daughter will tell, she'll tell you, she comes here, by the way, her name's Amanda Jennifer Ward. She'll say, yes, it was traumatizing. She said it was traumatizing. I said, what do you mean traumatizing? She said it was one catastrophe, because she was always going to move to New York City, and look where she's at. But so anyway, you know, just saying things, you know, just father-daughter, middle daughter at that. So praise the Lord. I love them, but there's many examples of prayer. But at Christmas, 5 years ago, Luke Arley, my grandson, he wanted a Henry lever action 22 repeater. That's a rifle, 2022. And we've been shooting since, just like he plays baseball. He's very proficient at it. I can't tell you how many deer he's killed, how many fish he's caught. But he wants this Golden Boy lever action Henry. He don't want to get the other one. He wants to get the Henry. And I said, Luke, he said, but you told me delight yourself in the will of the Lord and he'll give you desires of your heart. So he's praying this prayer all year. He's praying. Every time he comes over, every time you get a cow, he circles that gun, man. He says, Bob, there it is, man. We go to Green Top. So, you know, if the store doesn't sell the guns, don't go. But anyway, no. So anyway, we go. And he goes, man, that's the gun, Pop. Man, he picks them things up. You ask her, she's been in there with us, he'll pick up every gun. Man. And this is when he's 6 years old. And I said, Luke, I said, man, I don't know. I just don't know. Well, his daddy told me about October. He says, I don't know what your plans are for Christmas, but every evening that boy goes to bed, he gets on his bed and prays Psalm 37:4, and thank you for that Golden Boy 22 repeater. And I said, man. So Christmas, he knew it. And I'd hit it, and he's opening everything, and he goes, man. And I said, his dad said, I think there's one more. And man, phew, Flash Gordon, he got it out and opened it up. Well, 2 years ago, he had his eyes set on this one particular shotgun. And I said, I don't know, Luke. I don't know. You really better be praying to God about that. And he goes, oh, I've been praying. You just ain't been listening to him. So what I'm telling you is you teach your kids that. Man, hey, and he don't get... In Christmas, I'm just going to tell you about kids, man. Kids are go the way you train them. They'll do what you train them to. You can ask Pamela Jo, Christmas morning since I became in Christed, but especially with our grandkids, Christmas, they come over to Mimi's house, man, and they want to eat. And I said, what do y'all want to do? And they said, well, we're going to eat, and we always read the Christmas story. I read it out of Luke, and then I read Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, you know, talk about workmanship and all that. And and they've got questions for about 4 years now. I said, you got to have three questions for me. You just, you know, we're not opening up. Well, now they want to do the questions and read first, because they said they tell me a month ahead of time, we've been working on some questions. I go, stump Pop time. And they ain't stumped me yet. So anyway, but they ask questions. But you can train them. Train your kids. It's through prayer. How you live your life. How you live your life in front of them. Do you think you can fool them kids? If you're not doing that, you know, you're praying and believing for something, it don't make no difference what. We're going catfishing last Saturday evening. I said, what you want to? I said, you need to lead us in prayer, man. So he said, all right, takes his hat off. We're going, and he said, he prays, man. And he's the only one that caught fish. I didn't even catch no fish. So the reason I share all that, those are just examples of basic prayer in your life. In your life as a Christian man and woman. And for you young folks out there that don't have a family yet, it's the greatest thing in the world. Enjoy every minute of every second with them. You have the opportunity to mold them in a very short time into soldiers for God, to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does that make sense to you guys? It makes sense to me. You know, and I'm so thankful for the grace and the mercy of God, Jesus Christ, for what he did and forgave me for, that my kids can... enjoy that. can enjoy that. This cannot be underestimated or understated enough, that the power of the prayer of a father in the home or a mother for the family and living like the Bible is true is one of the most important calls in your life as a Christian. It is. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your closest neighbor when you're married? Your spouse. You treat her like, I'm talking about her again, and she treats me with reverence and respect. But Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, you love them like Christ loved the church. He gave his life for them. That's awesome, folks. I think that's good news. I rejoice over that. You know, and there's great examples in here for that. So is it hard and easy? No. When you first become a Christian, it's the hardest thing in the world to do to walk with Jesus Christ, especially when you didn't have him before. When you were taught your whole life that if you needed to go to a building and have a man tell you how to live your life, you were weak. You needed a crutch. And I was talking about churches. They're all hypocrites. They're all nothing about your money. Y'all have heard tithe messages many times. That's what I was taught. And the mentors I had were my dad's buddies. And praise the Lord, we've been used in their life, going home to be with the Lord and lead them to the Lord and repenting and being forgiven and all that. But again, the basic power of praying for and with a family as a parent is the most important thing you can do. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray in the Spirit. Teach them about that. You know, I've shared my testimony before and got saved in 96. Man, I just think about that. And get Betsy, you want to help me out? I mean, I know it's early, but this is all good stuff because this is a lot of stuff. There's a lot of scriptures there. And there is. But when I got fed up with it, because first year and a half of my life, man, was difficult for me. Man, I was going to church, you know, and then still running with my buddies. Still indulging in the fermented beverage. But we were fighting about everything. The dogs weren't running no good. The beer didn't taste good no more. Just one thing after another. And Pamela Joe, I said, I'm quitting this mess. And she said, I'm just telling you about somebody who walked with God, who walked, started his walk with God and didn't do it all the way. But I got born again and saved. But I wasn't reading the Bible and I wasn't studying anything. I was riding on her shirt tails, going to church, dressing up in a suit and tie and looking all pretty. People say, oh, it's so nice that you're in church with your family and your wife. Yeah, and it is. That's a first step. Well, the second step comes, you got to get in the Word. Well, I told her I ain't doing it no more. And if I don't get the same Jesus you got, girl, I quit. I'm going back. Man, life was a whole lot easier for me. And she said, well, you got to get into Bible study. And I said, well, I ain't going to school. She said, nah, you got to go. And I had a very good friend at that time, and his name was Walter Oliver. And he said, will you go to the study if I go with you? And I said, yeah. We're doing the book of John. There's 22 chapters in there, and I got on chapter 14. I hadn't opened my mouth yet. And that Monday night, I was reading that Bible in that easy chair, doing what every good man did. The study's on Tuesday night, and I was trying to get the lesson done on Monday. And it don't work good like that. And I said, man, I couldn't get it. Nothing made sense to me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and we're talking about the wedding feast, and I didn't know that. But I wasn't receiving because I wasn't getting into it. And I took the Bible and the book, and we lived in a very small place, but I threw it down the hall, and I said, forget this. Forget this stuff. I quit. Well, I've never quit anything in my life. I didn't just have 3 deer hounds. I had 50. I went overboard with everything. Everything. And I came back. I went down to the dog pens, my sanctuary. Man, those guys always wagged their tail and were always happy to see me. And I spent about 20 minutes down there, and my stomach was in a knot. And I went back up to the trailer, and I said, all right. I walked down the hall, got the book. She, and it turns out she's praying, of course. She says, striking down, dead knocking. But so I got it, and chapter 14, verse 12. Assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father who is in heaven. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So that the Father is glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, I froze. I said, hold a minute. I said, okay, surely, surely I say to you, he who believes in me. I said, well, that's me. I believe in you, God. I'm talking to him. I still read the Bible the same way today. I said, that's me. And he said, the works that I do, he can do. And greater works than these he can do, because I go to my Father who is in heaven. Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Man, I asked her, and she said, that's exactly what it's talking about. I went to work the next day, and at lunchtime I went to my buddy, Jack Van Empe Jr., called him. He had the Bible memorized. He was like Pastor Chris. And I said, hey, man, what's this mean? He said, that's exactly what it means, and we talked about it at lunchtime. Well, when I went to that study that night, I shot my hand up, and I said, man, go to verse 12. And he said, Brother Doug, you speak, is what the guy said. So they went to verse 12. And I'm going to tell you, the brick wall fell down in my head at that time when I realized the Bible's true then as it is now. And I ain't been able to keep my mouth shut about him since. I hope I've gotten more wisdom, mercy, and grace. Some of Pastor Chris has rubbed off on me, you know. But that's what God's got for you when you allow him to come into your life. Now, I was 38 years old when I did that, and I get very upset because for the first 18 years we were married, I feel, you know, we weren't married. But since that day, we've been married because we're both in union in Christ. So tonight, and we're closing, I'm going to ask that you guys just bow your heads. And I know some of you guys, I don't know everybody, but